morning we're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 2, entitled Divinity and Divine Service, text number 12. Translation. The seriously inquisitive student or sage, well equipped with knowledge and detachment, realizes the absolute truth by rendering devotional service in terms of what he has heard from the Vedanta Shruti, purport by Srila Prabhupada. The absolute truth is realized in full by the process of devotional service to the Lord, Vasudeva, or the personality of Godhead, who is the full-fledged absolute truth. Brahman is his transcendental bodily effulgence, and Paramatma is his partial representation. As such, Brahman, or Paramatma realization of the absolute truth, is but a partial realization. There are four different types of human beings: the karmis, the gyanis, the yogis, and the devotees. The karmis are materialistic, whereas the other three are transcendental. The first class transcendentalists are the devotees who have realized the Supreme Person. The second class transcendentalists are those who have partially realized the plenary portion of the Absolute Person. And the third class transcendentalists are those who have barely realized the spiritual focus of the Absolute Person. So it is not our opinion, but it is shastric. We are quoting from the scripture. We are following the conclusions of the scriptures. And especially in the Bhagavad Gita and the Srimad Bhagavatam, but throughout the Puranas, Mahabharata, Ramayana, and even in sections of the Vedanta, Upanishads, it is stated that only by devotional service can Krishna be known. Bhaktya mam abhijanati yavanyas chasmi tatata. In truth, bhakta-shruta grihitaya, as it is explained here, only by devotional service. Krishna himself tells Arjuna in numerous places, bhakya-tvananeya-sakya-aham evam vidho Arjuna gyatum drashtum chatatvena praveshtum cha parantapa. Not only can I be known, gyatum, but drashtum, I can also be seen. In other words, Krishna is not just a higher theoretical realization, but Krishna is a real person who can be seen. He has a transcendental form, he has transcendental emotions, pastimes, and whatever we are doing here in this material world is simply a perverted reflection of how we should be enjoying rasa in the absolute world with Krishna. So we do not deny that there are other categories of transcendentalists. But until they come to this position of loving Krishna, in the sixth chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, after mentioning karma yoga, jnana yoga, astanga yoga, he doesn't recommend. He describes, he mentions. But at the end, 647, Krishna says, yoginam api sarvesham, of all kinds of transcendentalists, one who worships me in devotion, he is the highest of all. That is my opinion. Madgate nantaratmana shraddhavan, with faith and devotion, Swami Yuktatama means the highest of all. Mataha, that is my opinion. So, therefore, the devotee is not bereft of anything. He is already, after many lifetimes, one realizes that Krishna is the Param Brahman, that he is the goal of all worship, Vasudeva, Paraveda, Vasudeva, Paramaka, Vasudeva, Param Jnanam, Vasudeva, Parodharmo, Vasudeva, Parayoga, Vasudeva, Paragati. Everything is meant, every process of spiritual life, every activity that we perform, ultimately it is meant to be directed to Krishna. It is meant for pleasing Krishna. So the Brahman realized persons, they have some understanding of God, but it is only partial, and therefore they are never fully satisfied, and therefore padanti ada, they can fall down, they do fall down from Brahman, unless somehow or other they get the association of a pure devotee and make advancement. Like before Kumaras, they were impersonalists, but by great good fortune they got the opportunity to smell the tulsi offered at the lotus feet of Lord Vishnu, Lord Krishna, and they were inspired from there to become personless. And Sukadeva Goswami, he was an impersonalist, but he heard Srimad Bhagavatam from within the womb, delivered to him by his great father, Srila Vyasadeva, and then he became inspired. So the only Atma Rama in this world is a pure devotee of Krishna. He is satisfied. So even the Paramatma realized yogis who practice yoga, Ashtanga yoga, focusing all the senses on the heart, focusing the mind on the heart, they see Krishna, but only in a partial manifestation. As Brahman and Paramatma realization are imperfect realizations of the Absolute Truth, so the means of realizing Brahman and Paramatma, that is, the paths of Jnana and Yoga, are also imperfect means of realizing the Absolute Truth. Devotional service, which is based on the foreground of full knowledge, combined with detachment from material association, and which is fixed by the oral reception of the Vedanta Shruti, is the only perfect method by which the seriously inquisitive student can realize the Absolute Truth. Devotional service is not, therefore, meant for the less intelligent class of transcendentalists. So it is stated, Vasudeva Bhagavati Bhakti Yoga Prayojita Janayatyashu Vairagyam Jnanam Cha Yad Ahoitukam. By engaging our senses in the service of Krishna, by cooking for Krishna, by serving the deity of Krishna, by distributing literatures which discuss the science of Krishna, by maintaining a temple so that people can come and worship Krishna, this is all in the category of devotional service. Whether it be constitutional devotional service or conditional devotional service, but it is all of the highest transcendental nature. And the result is that we are blessed by Krishna. Automatically we become detached from the material world. Once you have tasted the nectar of the lotus feet of the Lord, you'll never be satisfied by the bitter taste of the material world. Because whatever you get in the material world, there may be some rasa there, but it's mixed with so much suffering. You pay such a high price. The example, of course, is sweet rice mixed with sand. You know, there's a good taste in the sweet rice. Everybody likes sweet rice. But I have had experience where the sweet rice was not made properly, or it was in a park somewhere and sand got mixed, something. And you go to eat the sweet rice anticipating joy, and crunch, crunch, crunch. You break your teeth on the sand. So material happiness is like that. Yes, we all know the nectar of intoxication, illicit sex, meat eating, gambling. We've all been there, seen that, done that. And we've also been kicked in the face by Maya. And the trick is to draw the correlation between the two. People can't understand that because they're engaged in sinful activities, they will be punished by material nature, by not even Krishna's not even involved. Kamana Daiva Netrena, by the agents, the managing directors of the material world, Indra, Chandra, Surya, different demigods, Bhumi, and our activities, whatever we do, at every moment, we're under constant surveillance. There's nowhere you can hide in a dark alley or in a closet or whatever you do, whatever you think, everything is known. Therefore, we will go on getting our just reward for our material activities, or if we decide to simply change our consciousness, not necessarily stop our activities, but regulate our activities. In every way we will be benefited. In every way. We'll cut the connection with this external, inferior material energy. We'll become detached gradually. And we'll also experience in everything that we do a higher taste. Because that's the only way. The objects of the material world are very strong. Vishaya. Vishaya means that there is a natural relationship between the senses and the sense objects, the material senses, the material body. There's a natural relationship. And you can't stop that. It's the material world mixing with the material world. And you have no power to influence the material world. Krishna is moving everything in the material world. So if you have a desire to enjoy independently of Krishna, he'll arrange everything through his agents so that you get facility. He says, those who worship the demigods, I make their faith strong. So they can try to obtain the object of their desires. But the result is that dhyayato vishayan pungsa sangasteshu bhajayate, sangat sanjayate kama kama krodho vijayate. We simply become frustrated and angry, and we can't understand, why am I frustrated? Why am I angry, agitated all the time? I'm getting ahead materially. I'm getting all the things that society told me were necessary to be happy. And the reason is that you're not satisfying yourself. You're simply moving in an ocean of material energy, and the senses and the sense objects are being combined, and you're getting attached. Vishaya. Vinivartante nirahadasya dehina. For those who embody dehina, the objects of the senses are very strong. But if you get a higher taste, param drishtva, if you experience, and it's a subtle experience at first, subtle when compared with gross is almost imperceptible. You can't understand how it is coming through. But if you have Shraddha, a little faith to keep up, to keep on, to keep trying, that subtle pleasure will overcome gross pleasure, and it will become very sweet. And gross pleasure has so many things it depends on. How much money you have, how many friends you have, what your health is. Supposing a man is very, very sick, and he wants to enjoy sense gratification, he wants to go skiing, or he can't do it. His body won't allow him. His happiness is now a function of his health, because he depends upon his body for his health, and his body's sick. So, therefore, if we can distinguish between the subtle pleasure which grows ad infinitum, anandam buddhivardhanam, an ocean of ever-increasing bliss, and the gross pleasure which is available to the hogs and dogs, yanmaitunadi grihamedi sukham hi tucham, such a small thing, and all the animals are getting. It's nothing special. Whether you enjoy sex in a dog's body or a pigeon's body or a human body or a demigod body, the business is the same. Nothing special. But only in the human form of life can we taste transcendental pleasure. So we must avail ourselves of the opportunity. The opportunity is given because it is superior. The human life is an advantage. It's a benefit. Not so that you can enjoy more of the same thing, which didn't satisfy you in any other species and will not satisfy you now. Human life is an opportunity to establish a higher standard of sense gratification. Yes, we want sense gratification, but we want uninebriated sense gratification. We want sense gratification that will awaken our consciousness, not dull our consciousness. And that is Hrishikena Hrishikesha Sevanam. It is devotional service. And if we practice devotional service, we will get the knowledge to see. Our eyes will be opened. We'll become detached without any extraneous or separate endeavor. Just over the period of a lifetime, you will disdain the sources of your misery. Yehi sansparsaja bhoga dukkha yonaya. This sparsha, the contact with the material world, the senses, this contact is the source. Dukkha yonaya is the source of our suffering. We should know this. We should see it. Feel it. Why are we suffering? Because the body it's not meant for enjoyment. It's not designed. It's designed to break down. Just like in society, especially today in industry, they design things to break down in a few years. Because they want you to buy the new model. And if they gave you a car that lasted 100 years, and they could do it, you would never buy, and their business would be finished. They could make a light bulb that would last perpetually. They knew that years ago when Thomas Edison invented the light bulb. But anybody who tried to do it, they destroyed him, because that's not good business. They want you to have to come back to them again and again and again for the new model. Software. Oh my God. It's such a joke. Every few months, We just added new options, and for only $50 you can upgrade. You're a fortune. You don't have to pay the full price of $150. You get this for $50 because you're one of our users, our valued customers. Baloney. You could have put it in the last version. You couldn't give me a free update. But that's the way they cheat. They do it with tape recorders. They come out with 5 different models at the same time, each one supposedly better, incrementally. And then they release the first one, and you think, now I've got it, I'm state-of-the-art. And, you know, you look in the paper, and there's a new one that has another feature. So that's the material world. It's simply a cheating place. You can't get ahead. And we should see that. And at least endeavor for transcendental spiritual life. Devotional service is not therefore meant for the less intelligent class of transcendentalists. Well, what to speak of less intelligent class of transcendentalists? It is very hard for the gross karmi to take up devotional service, and practically it's impossible. He needs a lot of cultivation. Someone was asking me about Sunday feast the other day. He's got to have a lot of nice Sunday feasts before he can develop an interest in spiritual life. There are 3 classes of devotees, namely first, second, and third class. The third class devotees are neophytes who have no knowledge, are not detached from material association, but who are simply attracted by the preliminary process of worshiping the deity in the temple are called material devotees. Those are the Kanishta Adhikaris. They see God in the temple, but nowhere else. They serve the deity, but they are not very humble in association with devotees. They maintain their false pride and arrogance. They even increase their pride thinking, I'm worshiping the deity. And very often they see that God is only in my temple, my church. So their vision is fragile. Their devotion is fragile. Their vision is eclipsed. It is not a broad vision. They're not really looking to expand their consciousness. They're simply satisfied to be recognized as a pious person, a mundane religious person, but their faith is weak. They're not fixed in their minds, fixed in their intelligence. Therefore, they can be a Christian today and become a Protestant tomorrow, and the next day a Buddhist, and we've seen people go around the whole cycle. One of our heroes in our youth, he was Jewish in his youth, then he became kind of, not exactly atheist, but in between atheist and agnostic, became an agnostic. There is no such position, but anyway. Then he became a born-again Christian. Even at one point he became a Hare Krishna, on the edge. And now he's back to, I don't know what he's, back to New Age now. But just, you see all the time, people don't have any real knowledge, and therefore they move from here to there looking for some help, looking for some real knowledge. That's a Kanishta Adhikari. They're not detached from material association. Asat Sangha Tyaga, Evaishnavachar. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has explained, God himself has told you have to give up the association of materialistic men. Otherwise, you'll be influenced. None of us can help it. We do get influenced by our association. birds of a feather. So we have, if we're seriously inquisitive, that's the key here. Those who are seriously inquisitive, they have to make some lifestyle changes. Now there are so many things, giving up animal slaughter, regulating our activity, our carnal activities, and so many things, but we have to avoid the association, the direct association of people who, by their actions, by their example, by their intent, will try to bring us down or will bring us down. Because devotional service, again, is a fine line. It's like shaving with a razor. And if you're not careful, that sharp blade could cut. And if you're not careful, you can get knocked down by the material energy. She is just entreating us, calling us, come. You're not happy there in devotional service. Remember, before you were enjoying intoxicating, you were going to rave parties and you know, you were really having fun. And come again. Come on. The mind is, you really have to, especially if you associate with your old friends, so-called friends. They're not friends. They don't care about what happens to you at the time of death. They don't even know what's going to happen to themselves. So how can they even begin to care about you? Your life is going to be summed up at the end. How much you're worth at the end of your life. And, oh, that's so far off. I'll wait till I'm old, then I'll take up spirit. You don't know that it's so far off. You have no guarantee. Anything could happen at any time to us individually or collectively, so that we'll be forced to eject, forced to get out of this body. And then, what are we prepared? If you can find a way of life which satisfies your needs enough and which offers promise to a greater life, a better life, a spiritual life, where your questions at least will be dealt with and most of them will be answered to your satisfaction, and people will spend time, the great personalities will come and try to help you by leaving us books like this. If you get that opportunity, then why not give up the association of people who will only try to drag you down? You're not being unkind or unnatural toward them. You're trying to help them also, because if you become a better person, then you can help your former friends or everybody else in the world. But first, work on yourself. And to do that, you have to focus. You have to associate with people who are in the same field of endeavor. So a kanishta doesn't bother. He's not so careful about his association. Material devotees are more attached to material benefit than transcendental profit. Therefore, one has to make definite progress from the position of material devotional service. Material devotional service. Karma Mishra Bhakti. There are many grades of bhakti, many levels of bhakti. And we have an opportunity, by virtue of the lifestyle which was designed for us by Mahabhagavatas, Bhaktivedantas, self-realized souls. If we apply ourselves, we will go past all of this. But, and that includes hearing about Karma Mishra Bhakti in the Nectar of Devotion class that you might attend in the temple or the Srimad Bhagavatam class or in your own spare time while you're reading or in discussion with other devotees or in seeing within yourself while executing devotional service these weeds appearing, and you can cut them out. If you don't see the weeds, if they're just growing, but you don't recognize them, they'll choke off your devotional creeper. But by associating with other devotees and by rendering devotional service, you'll understand these are obstacles on my path. Discard them, cut them out. The all-kind sadhu, he cuts. Sadhu means one who cuts from our minds and senses. He cuts away all the gangrene-like infection. Gangrene, if you leave it, it goes on infecting and rotting, and pretty soon you have to amputate your leg, amputate your finger, whatever. The only solution. Ultimately, gangrene will kill you. Gets in your blood, goes to your heart, finished. So the sadhu will cut. He will tell you. Not being vicious, but out of love. Because he wants you to be healthy. When the doctor comes in and takes a lancet in the hospital and cuts you, it's not because he hates you. It's because he wants your paycheck. Anyway, it's not because he hates you. So, the sadhu actually has nothing to gain from you. He wants you to become healthy, just like his spiritual master performed an operation on him and wanted him to become healthy. So, that's the kind of association that we need. We can make definite progress. No material benefit. We want transcendental profit. Therefore, one has to make definite progress from the position of material devotional service to the second class devotional position. In the second class position, the devotee can see four principles in the devotional line, namely the personality of Godhead, his devotees, the ignorant, and the envious. One has to raise himself at least to the stage of a second class devotee and thus become eligible to know the absolute truth. So we are trying to be or are practicing devotional service on the level of Madhyam. So we worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead. We are maintaining the deity and we are developing spiritual vision to see that the deity is Krishna. He has come here and he is mercifully accepting our service. He will respond to our prayers as much as we want. We can see him there, right here in the temple. We're sitting in front of the Supreme Lord, Gauranga Mahaprabhu. And there are many innocent people in the world. They're not against devotional service. They're not inimical, but they're simply victims of the gas of Kali Yuga, the cloud, the darkness of this age is the age of darkness. And people are bewildered. Sincere, perhaps, but bewildered. Pravritim cha, nivritim cha. They don't know what to do. So we try to preach to them. And because we are serving together, we offer respects to other Vaishnavas. In fact, we even understand that service to the Vaishnavas is more important than even service to the Supreme. Who says so? The Supreme says so. Therefore, we're following the order of the Supreme. Just like Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told us to chant Hare Krishna, and the devotees would have easily chanted his name, but he forbade them. He wanted them to chant the Maha Mantra because it is prescribed for this age as the most facile and expedient process, easy and quickly effective to clean the dust from the heart to purify us. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu instructed us to chant Maha Mantra. So similarly, Krishna is telling us, Tadiyanam Samarchanam. Lord Shiva explained it to Parvati, and of course Lord Shiva is a great representative of the Lord. Vaishnavanam Yatha Shambhu. He is telling us, you serve the devotees around you. How do you serve them? By helping them in devotional service, by so many big or small ways. Any little service will benefit us. And there are people who are envious, and it is not, devotional service is not laissez-faire. It is not wishy-washy. It is not that anybody and everybody can come and stay here, or even that anybody and everybody can come to our programs. If people don't agree to follow even the basic etiquette, if they want to come here and make their own propaganda or create nonsense or try to infiltrate weak devotees and drag them down, they're not welcome, and we have to recognize that. We're doing ourselves a favor and we're doing them a favor, because the more offenses they commit, the deeper they will reside in hell and the longer it'll take for them to get back to the human form of life. Mrityu samsara vartmaniya sarvadanasya purusya dharmasya sya purantapa apapyamam nivartante mrityu samsara vartmaniya. Because they are faithless, they have no faith in Krishna, they have no faith in Guru, they have no faith in Parampara, they have no faith in the scripture, they concoct everything, they are completely sahajya, they make everything cheap, they make the whole thing cheap, it doesn't matter. Whatever I think, that's truth for me. I'm a brilliant person, and even though I was a malecha, you know, 2 years ago, now I can write books on transcendental life. Come on. Anyway, we have to understand that satsanga means that we give it up while we go outside, and we only allow people who are sincere, who want to. Anyone can come here and question sincerely, and even push. If they don't like the answers they get, they can become more aggressive in their questioning until they're satisfied. But there should be at least a mood of cooperation, or a mood of being respectful. So that's second class devotional service, madhyamadhikar. And of course, the first class devotee is on the highest platform. He sees that everyone is engaged in devotional service, and there's no need to preach, because everyone's serving Krishna, either anukul or pratikul, but everyone is serving, can't avoid it. And he engages in his bhajan. Paramahansa Thakur, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Paramahansa. The last 4 or 5 years of his life, he just engaged in bhajan. Closed himself off. He never took sannyas. One has to raise himself at least to the stage of a second-class devotee and thus become eligible to know the absolute truth. A third-class devotee, therefore, has to receive the instructions of devotional service from the authoritative sources of Bhagavata. The number one Bhagavata is the established personality of devotee. Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya. It means to hear Srimad Bhagavatam, and it means to associate with the person Bhagavatam, whose life is an illustration of the instructions in Bhagavatam. The third class devotee, therefore, has to go to the personality of devotee in order to learn the instructions of devotional service. Such a personality of devotee is not a professional man who earns his livelihood by the business of Bhagavatam. Such a devotee must be a representative of Shukadeva Goswami, like Suta Goswami, and must preach the cult of devotional service for the all-round benefit of all people. A neophyte devotee has very little taste for hearing from the authorities. Such a neophyte devotee makes a show of hearing from the professional man to satisfy his senses. This sort of hearing and chanting has spoiled the whole thing, so one should be very careful about the faulty process. The holy messages of Godhead, as inculcated in the Bhagavad Gita and the Srimad Bhagavatam, are undoubtedly transcendental subjects. But even though they are so, such transcendental matters are not to be received from the professional man who spoils them, as the serpent spoils milk by the touch of his tongue. Avaishnava mukod girnam putam hari katamutam sravanam naiva kartavya sarpochista yatha payaha. We are followers of Srila Prabhupada. He is the greatest exponent and preacher in the mission of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and there is no need for us to budge even one inch from his lotus feet. This is Kali Yuga. The stock is the same people. There's no special group of people anywhere. And wherever you go in any institution, whether it be Gaudiya or otherwise, you're going to find the same fallen conditioned souls. We're all, in that regard, from the same womb, from the same background, from the same source. We have our problems. But who will help us the most come out? Srila Prabhupada. So we should stick fast to his association and try to cultivate the friendship and association of devotees, build a community of Prabhupada Nugas, and do our very best. You get too complicated and go here and there and try to compare everything, and you know that Srila Prabhupada is unquestionably the most qualified to give us. He lived with us. He stayed with us. He analyzed us. He worked only for us. Nobody has done like Srila Prabhupada. So, most qualified person. And his purports are meant for us. They're meant for the whole world, but especially he preached to us. And therefore, here, this is a test for how much intelligence we have. Otherwise, you take the risk of relying on your own faulty judgment, coming in contact with someone who is not authorized, and his rendition of Hari Katha will appear to be very sweet, but it is just milk touched by the lips of a servant, of a serpent, and it will have poisonous effects, poisonous effect. We see that devotees who go here and there to Radha Kund or this Kund or that Kund, they get away from Prabhupada, and very soon they show their real qualities. Either they fall down completely, or they simply become inimical and criticize. A sincere devotee must therefore be prepared to hear the Vedic literature, like the Upanishads, Vedanta, and other literatures left by previous authorities of Goswamis for the benefit of his progress. Without hearing such literatures, one cannot make actual progress. And without hearing and following instructions, the show of devotional service becomes worthless, and therefore a sort of disturbance in the path of devotional service. Shruti, Smriti, Puranadi, Pancharatra, Vidam Vidhi, Aikantiki, Harer Bhakti, Utpat Yayava Kalpate. Devotional service is a science. It is full of emotion. It comes to the stage of spontaneous raganuga, but it is nevertheless a very explicit science, and it must be practiced according to parampara and all the Vedic scriptures, otherwise utpat yaiva kalpate. It becomes a disturbance. We were discussing with Sundarananda the other day on the walk about what's his name in Zagreb?
Gopal Prema.
The self-acclaimed pure Paramahansa Thakur, whatever it is. 108. 801. He's just a disturbance. The reporters think he's funny, and they love to kill trees and write about such ludicrous people. And it just makes it more difficult for us, because some people do get influenced that Hare Krishna means this and Hare Krishna means that. They cannot discriminate. He's a disturbance. So we have to stay away from such sort of disturbance. We have to follow according to the exact process. It's a meticulous science, believe me. It requires full meditation. And if we personally don't have, due to many different circumstances, the opportunity to absorb ourselves at this time in our lives, then we should associate with people who are doing that, and free from envy, hear and absorb what we can. And we have to make time in our lives. Some portion of our schedule, we have to make time so that we can associate and hear about Krishna consciousness and make progress. Unless, therefore, devotional service is established on the principles of Shruti, Smriti, Purana, and Pancharatra authorities, the make-show of devotional service should at once be rejected. An unauthorized devotee should never be recognized as a pure devotee. By assimilation of such messages from the Vedic literatures, one can see the all-pervading, localized aspect of the personality of Godhead within his own self constantly. This is called samadhi. Premanjana Trudita Bhakti Vilochanena Santasadaiva Hridayeshu Vilokayanti Yam Shama Sundaram Achincha Gunaswarupam Govindam Adi Purusham Tamaham Bhajami. We can see Krishna within our heart, within his name, and Ishtadeva Spurti, we'll see him everywhere. And it's not, if we apply ourselves nicely with ekeha kurunana, with fixed determination, Krishna will help us and we'll make rapid progress just by virtue of the fact that we're endeavoring in an age which defies devotional service, a dark age, and yet still we're standing up to be counted as devotees. Krishna is immensely pleased, and we'll certainly get all of his blessings. We just have to keep on keeping on. We have to keep on trying, keep on struggling, keep on working, and it gets better. It becomes more and more satisfying, and the struggle part of it easily goes away. It becomes a labor of love. And one day you will see Krishna. So I pray that all of you render this, do yourselves a great favor and continue in your devotional service steadfastly and stick to the lotus feet of Srila Prabhupada. And I'm sure that whatever I've said, you will bear it out. None of you will come to me and tell me that you are speaking lies. Because I know that you will, very soon you will get, you're already getting, but you'll get even more immense satisfaction from this process. Grantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki. It's a little bit late, but if anybody has a question, yes.
Connection between the senses and the objects of the senses, and about the sense gratification in the material senses. And I've heard that because the senses can really be satisfied only by spiritual pleasure, and because when there's no soul in the body doesn't feel anything, so therefore...
There's no what in the body?
So, when there's soul...
There's no soul in the body?
When it's not present in the body, the body doesn't feel anything, so therefore the...
Now wait a second, where did you hear that, that there's no soul in the body?
No, when the soul leaves the body.
Oh, at death.
Yes, then the body doesn't feel anything, so therefore the senses are spiritual.
No, it is like the spiritual senses, this is the body, the cloth, and underneath is the spiritual senses. So the soul has form, and the body takes the form of the mind's desires. But if you have a desire to serve Krishna, then with the body that you get, you will be given an opportunity to engage the material senses in the service of Krishna so that they are in communion with your spiritual senses. But when the soul leaves the body is just a lump of matter. It has no connection with its external energy. That's a weird thing. The soul leaves the body and now the body's spiritual. Should immediately kill everybody.
The point is that the senses are really satisfied when they get spiritual pleasure. So that's an argument for the... So
no, but who gets the pleasure? The body gets the pleasure? The soul. Well, if the soul's out of the body, where's the pleasure?
No, while...
Where's the experience?
While in the body, while the soul is in the body.
Yeah.
When we get the pleasure. If we get the spiritual pleasure, that's the real pleasure for the soul.
Yes. But then your senses have to be engaged in serving Krishna. Then you can get spiritual pleasure.
Yes.
You can't get spiritual pleasure just by wishing for it while engaged in material activities. And if you're engaged in spiritual activities, your material senses are called, they're spiritual senses with material attributes. They're saguna. Your body will die no matter how much devotional service you do. Your body's going to die. But there is a spiritual body, which is the form of the soul, and that will regain or reawaken or be reborn in the spiritual world. What?
Well, because the point on the lecture that I was hearing is that the senses are spiritual, they're not material. the
huh? Maybe he wants to say that senses belong to the soul, not to body.
No, no, the body is separate and the soul is separate. The body has a form because the soul has a form. Otherwise, what is the body? It's just a lump of chemicals. You could melt it down and get about $3 or $4 on the open market for the mercury and the, you know, the gold in your teeth, or I don't know, whatever, the potassium and the carbon and celery, huh?
Calcium.
Calcium's expensive. It's just a lump of chemicals, but it takes a form and appears to have senses because the soul has. So we generally say the material senses. That's what we call them, senses. They're nerve endings. Everywhere you have senses, there are nerves coming that are a kind of interface with the rest of the material energy. You get impressions from the nerves. But pure spiritual senses are in connection with Krishna. They are never dead. They're always alive. This body is a perverted reflection of our spiritual body in the spiritual world. At the present moment, the form of our soul in the material world is not perfectly manifest. It's covered by ignorance, by the modes of nature. And therefore, it virtually transposes itself on the body, thinking that I am the body. No, these are my senses, but you forget that you have a spiritual body. There's no need to create, just like little kids, they'll put on their parents, you know, their mother's high heel shoes and their father's hat, and they'll have a little table and teacups, and you know, that maybe the girl will make some mud patties, and they'll play house, they're not grown up yet, they can't have the real experience, so they concoct something. So we're concocting something. This is all our imagination. It's all illusion, our mind's desire. But none of this is substantial. The body looks like the spiritual body in the spiritual world only as much as it facilitates our mind's desire to enjoy that spiritual body, but without Krishna. We want the kingdom of God without God. No posible. Yes? You.
By achieving this paramrishta, higher taste, actually, it's not that this lower taste is going away. Like you said yesterday, that you have to keep ourselves in the fire of devotional service. This fire actually seems to me sometimes not just like a hard struggle not to become affected by this pinching of lower material energy, which is
induced. Take a bigger draft, bigger drink. You have to increase the dosage now. The higher taste dosage. If you take the higher taste 5%, yeah, you'll still experience a little disturbance from the 95% that you don't take. But we are, even if we get a little taste, at least we can understand that there is something else. Before, we didn't even consider that there was any other option but status quo and, you know, what is that? Mahadhiman yena gatasapanta, you know. Following the footsteps of the big demons. That was all we knew, try to become like Mick Jagger or whatever, I don't know, try to follow our material heroes. At least now we know that there, I've got a taste of something new, something better, and it's being described, and I have a little experience, so take it to another level. You have nothing to lose. You've virtually been to the highest level materially. Or we're not even asking you to give up your material options. We're just asking you to spiritualize them, transform them. Somebody else had a question over there. Yeah.
On what the faith is based on? Because when you go to preach Krishna consciousness to the people, they see the people, they see that they are suffering. One, they have knowledge about karma and information. And another, who also read the books of Shri Prabhupada. They don't have faith.
They don't have?
They don't have faith.
Faith. We were just reading last night in that book Acharya, beautiful book produced by Shesha Prabhu, quotations from Srila Prabhupada from different sources. So in one place Prabhupada explains that we act with a desire to please Krishna. The result, we have to accept that we're not in control of the result. And even if we're unsuccessful in our endeavor, even if externally there's no manifestation of success, there's no obvious successful result, even if it looks like we're a failure, but in every way we're a success because we have endeavored to please Krishna. So preaching is like that. You just never know whether people will respond, when they will respond. A lot of times preaching gets delayed reaction. It takes time for people to absorb the things that devotees say, because devotee preachers, whatever they say, however simple they are, however inexperienced they are, but they're armed with such a powerful philosophy, and if they deliver it, people get stunned to the point that they don't know how to deal with it. It may take them even a few years before it sinks in. At this time and hit place and this time in their lives, they may be enjoying, and it may not strike home so quickly. They may not want to accept it because it would interfere with their mode of enjoyment. In fact, the demons, they will get very angry because we're interfering with their sense gratification. But those who are not inimical, they'll hear it, they'll store it somewhere in the back of their brain, subliminally, it will be there. And then at an appropriate time, when their luck does fail them, when they are down and out, it will come again. Oh, that devotee, he did say that. Maybe I'll read that book he gave me, or maybe I'll go and see him again. So you never know when you're going to be successful or how the success will manifest, but even if it appears that you're unsuccessful, you have done something good for yourself. And how can we become better and get better results? Well, we're doing that now. We're having workshops, seminars. Everybody should get an education. That's the mood in ISKCON now. you know, get an education, we don't want to be illiterate. Well, there are opportunities, so everybody should think about learning more so that you can make a better presentation. And part of education means personal development also. And part of education means learning how to be a better community so that people may agree or disagree with our philosophy, not that they have any qualification either way. You know, people always say, I want to see God before I'll believe in Him. And Prabhupada will always say, what qualification do you have to see? You turn the lights out in a dark room, you can't even see your hand 2 feet in front of your face. What is your qualification for seeing God? So people are not qualified to understand philosophy, but they think they are, and they don't agree with us, but if they come to the temple and they find a loving atmosphere, a nice environment, dedicated people, they will be highly impressed. And that in itself may go a long way in influencing them to test devotional service on one degree or another, one level or another, and it may also, again, be another implant. Prabhupada talked about injecting Krishna consciousness into the dull brain.